The news that Minister in the Presidency, Jackson Mthembu, passed away yesterday due to COVID-related complications at just the age of 62 years old has definitely garnered an outpouring of grief from every single corner, from people in the media who have really enjoyed his perspective on or his accessibility for them to work, all the way towards various players in the political spectrum. In our first hour, you would have heard the tributes that we played for you from UDM leader Bantu Holomisa, from Good leader and fellow cabinet minister Patricia de Lille, DA leader John Steenhuisen, in sharing a very warm photo of the two of them, said, devastated to learn of the passing of Minister Jackson Mthembu. Was such an honor to serve alongside this true South African patriot. Condolences to his family and friends and the colleagues in his party. May his soul rest in peace. Similarly, warm messages came from Premier Alan Windey, as well as Member of Parliament Phumzile Fandam, who I will talk to shortly. But quite outside the adversaries, even if in a sparring sense, there are some colleagues, the likes of which are about to join me now. Chris Vick, communications consultant and former colleague of the minister, joins me now. Welcome to the show, Chris. I think it's our first time welcoming you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Rafael, and thanks for the opportunity.
Indeed, I apologize for it being under these circumstances, but we're so grateful for your perspective on Jackson Mthembu, the man, the minister, and the colleague.
It's very difficult to sort of absorb what's really happened. I think most South Africans know Jackson, through that happy, smiling face at the COVID-19 briefings. But many of us also know him from when he was a young activist working in Emalahleni, what was called Witbank then. And even then, you could see the leadership qualities that more South Africans got to know during those COVID briefings. An incredibly committed activist, fearless, and also very, very honest. We used to have very interesting discussions about difficulties within the UDF in those days, and when the ANC was unbanned, some of the challenges that we faced in building the organization inside the country. I did a very exciting sort of tour. We were crisscrossing South Africa, setting up ANC structures soon after the unbanning in 1990, with people who are well known: Dolnetch, Tenge, Paulo Jordan, Jill Marcus. Mm. But Jackson was the one who stood out in terms of his ability to discuss very complex issues in a very simple and plain way, and to make an impact. And I think that's the Jackson that we knew then, and it's very much the Jackson that we know now. A very effective communicator, very committed activist, but also a very special human being.
Chris, you're quite right. And I think he was a communicator at heart, which would be, of course, which would speak to you, to your favor in a massive way, the two of you working together quite closely for decades now. All the way from our very first elections right up until now, in terms of getting that COVID-19 messaging out. So much of negotiating adversarial positions, complex positions, come down to how things are communicated. And that's not just across party politics, but one can only imagine how he's navigated the current caucus of the ANC, with its own fractures within. All the way from, being chief whip under the Zuma administration into this particular role in the Ministry of the Presidency. Why don't you just give us a perspective on how his style of communication has been so supportive to that end?
Well, I think he saw his task being persuasion rather than a sort of narrow definition of communication. So a lot of his interaction was either face-to-face or in meetings, whether it's with journalists or with communities. And I think the dimension that he brought in, which sometimes government communicators, whether ministers or officials, forget, is that humanity, an ability to listen first before speaking, an ability to understand what the pain points or pressure points were in the communities he was engaging with, and then this really strong ability to get to the point. So a lot of listening, a lot of processing, but when it came to delivery and what needed to be said in a way that persuaded people to agree with him, he was incredibly effective. But I think that dimension of humanity is something that is going to stick with us, and it's a legacy that we must try and build on, is an acceptance that we are fallible. And in Jackson's case, some of your listeners might remember, he went through a very difficult stage with his family, recognizing that he'd focused on politics to the neglect of his family. And he owned up to that. And I think that honesty and that introspection was important. He even said at some point that he was going to resign from politics because of that. I think that was partly because of the pressure he was coming under as chief whip. Yes. You remember trying to sort of marshal ANC MPs to do the right thing around President Zuma. But even further back, and I mean, conversations I had with him were very intense when he was arrested for drunken driving in Cape Town. He was very embarrassed about that and apologized publicly. That humanity, that maturity and that introspection was critical, I think, in winning friends. And he didn't do it deliberately. It was a very, it was just the way that he was composed and the way that he understood the role model that he was, and by chipping up every now and then, correcting himself and then communicating to society why he'd done it and why it was important for all of us to be introspective about what we do and say.
Chris, I think that vulnerability, that accountability is something that's so lacking in general in the public discourse that comes from the political arena, but in particular from that particular party. And so he softened, I think, for many of us who looked closely enough, he softened the perspective of where the ANC was coming from, or at the very least allowed us into the tensions that they were dealing with when not necessarily coming on side with what decisions we wanted to see. Your point about a legacy that needs to be built from here, I mean, do you think this is an opportunity? I know it's an opportunity too, but do you think that there are leading lights within the party that will actually take this moment to introspect around the vulnerability, the response of the nation, how completely apolitical it is and how humane it is, and how that might be something for them to aspire to?
I think that's an ongoing process. I mean, I think the COVID-19 pandemic, in a way, has focused us all on the softer issues, not just physical well-being, mental well-being, the impact of the lockdown, the loss of family and friends. You know, there's a lot of discussion, not just around Jackson's passing, but generally the impact of the pandemic and how we mourn and what bereavement is like when you cannot actually go to a night vigil or after tears. You cannot hug your friend who is in pain. So I think there's a general process. But I must say, you know, when Ronnie Mamwepa passed away a few years ago, there was a lot of introspection among government communicators in particular around what Ronnie's legacy should be. And those conversations are already starting to happen again around Jackson, because you're talking about a similar character, very energetic, very focused, very committed, but also very successful. So I'm sure that, you know, once we get through this very painful phase of mourning and loss, that the conversations will turn to a more specific way of paying tribute to Jackson and understanding. But I must say, even my generation, we are losing ourselves, we are losing our friends. But there's a slightly older generation, the group of 70s activists, who are already beginning a project to sort of document what really happened, why we became activists in the first place, and whether we've kind of lost direction in terms of the real issues. And our struggle ultimately is about humanity. It's about social justice for individuals, not for entities. It's about improving the plight of people who are suffering immense inequality and injustice. So that introspection is ongoing, but I think there's a sort of communications edge to the conversation, which started with the pandemic and how it was dealt with, and is spreading. For myself, I wanted to do whatever I could. I formed a network called COVID Comms, which is essentially assisting in the communications effort. And the first person I phoned was Jackson, just after the lockdown, explained the concept, and he said, "Bruh, just go for it. We need as much as we can, as often as we can." So, you know, that sort of decisiveness, recognizing the problem and coming with solutions, is there. We just need to spread it. We just need to get more people involved in these conversations and recognize that ultimately it's about a struggle for human justice. It's not a political party issue. It's not an institutional issue. It's about improving the lives of people, real people.
Thank you so much, Chris Vick, for your perspective, former colleague of Jackson Tembo.